Number two, kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Let's hit some hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Cody Mack?
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Joe Burrow says head injuries.
Tennessee is looking a lot like 2019 LSU.
No, he's just talking about head injuries. He says he's very familiar with concussion-like symptoms and that head injuries are an inherent cost of playing football. Just part of the game, he says. In his weekly podcast appearance, Burrow said he hasn't had any long-term issues from concussions, but said he has likely suffered at least one during his career and says he's even forgotten entire chunks of a game before. I've had some where I don't remember the second half or I don't remember the entire game or I got a little dizzy, but nothing long-lasting, just part of the game.
Okay.
Blake Bortles has quietly retired. The quarterback who led Jacksonville to a division title.
If he quietly retired, we wouldn't hear about it because he's not relevant. So it can't be quietly because we hear about it.
He just did in the middle of the night. That's why they.
Well, that's still a story. There's been a lot of people retiring. Like, oh, okay, I didn't really notice. Like, the fact that it's even a headline, because Blake Bortles is not worthy of a headline.
Well, he went on. You don't think Blake Bortles is worthy of a headline?
Him retiring?
One headline?
He's been a backup quarterback the last 2 years.
He's still got more playoff wins than Russell Wilson.
He led the Jags to the AFC Championship game, 2017.
He didn't lead anybody anywhere. His defense led him. Jalen Ramsey led him.
Well, Michael DeRocco says Bortles led him.
He's
an ESPN staff.
Must be good to be a quarterback.
He went on the
all the respect and all the props when you win. And if you lose, it doesn't even matter sometimes. Guys like Justin Herbert, you guys caping for him for 3 straight years. Now it's not Justin Herbert's fault. Anyways.
Bortles went on the Pardon My Tech podcast. He said, I didn't tell anybody, but I retired, he said.
Oh, when so he's asked saying if he was retired recently, or he's retired already.
Yeah, he said, I guess you guys are kind of the first to hear it publicly. He just didn't announce his retirement.
Yeah, okay. I got a headline for you.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
I guess.
Well, do you guess or do you know?
Well, if you say you got it, bring it to the table.
Todd McShay has ranked his top 32 prospects for the NFL draft in the upcoming year. Cedric Tillman has made the list. He comes in as the 21st prospect in college football right now. Tillman is a physical receiver with impressive route running savvy, a big catch radius, and very strong hands. He's not a burner, but he does an excellent job tracking the deep ball and using his length to win 50-50 opportunities. He has a natural feel for contorting his body, timing his jumps, and shielding defenders. But Tillman lacks ideal elusiveness. He has 17 catches for 246 yards and a touchdown, but has missed a few games with a left ankle injury. So, Big Ced showing up, I guess is what is essentially an early equivalent of a first-round mock draft.
Yep.
What does that do for you, Cam?
I like it. He's getting some respect, and that means I really want him on the field come Alabama.
He ranks behind Jackson Smith and Nigba, who comes in at 17th. Kayshawn Boutte, who comes in at 16th, which
we'll see him this week.
I don't know how anyone is feeling good about him right now after the season he's putting together, but
yeah. I think it's still just bad 11 quarterback plays and helping him out.
I understand, but he's got 11 catches for 97 yards.
Yeah,
like either shut it down or like just say you don't want to play anymore or go out there and make some plays. You gotta do something. But you are right. Whenever your quarterback throws for 85 total yards, there's not much you can do. You can't really have a 100-yard receiving game when your quarterback can't throw for 100 yards. So that is fair. Jordan Addison at USC is number 9.
Fair.
Yeah, he's a beast. 29 catches, 442 yards, 6 trips to the end zone. Wow, he's got 6 touchdowns already?
Yeah, they've been running up on some of these teams.
Yeesh. Okay, Jordan Addison. Will Levis comes in at number 7.
Number 7.
All right, so you got 3 receivers ahead of Big Sad Tillman right now. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, I like that.
Addison got no issue with. I don't see it with Boutte. I understand he's got the NFL body, but I haven't been impressed with him when I've watched him.
Mm-hmm.
And Smith and Jigba's a beast, so pretty good for Sed Tillman. That would be a huge, huge feather in the hat for Josh Heupel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, turning Big Sed into a first-round pick. Tennessee should be set up offensively for the foreseeable future. Like, transfer portal, recruiting, all those things. Like, if you're a wide receiver, why the hell would you not want to play in this offense? Anyways, Cody Mack, what do you got?
Feel old yet?
Felix Jones, second round. Cedric Tillman, first round. My goodness.
Edgerrin James' son has committed to play basketball at Cincinnati.
Basketball?
Basketball.
That's probably good. He probably saw, at like, Cincinnati. You know, we don't need to do we don't need to do football. Head injuries, all those things.
LeBron says he has no relationship with Kareem.
Wait, is that all in it? Edgerrin James' son, is he any good? You left out the best part. His name's Jizzle. Jizzle James.
Jizzle James?
I guess his name's not Jizzle, but like.
You think he goes by Jizz for short?
No, I think he goes by Jizzle.
Jizzle?
Because like that's what was in parentheses. It said whatever his name is, so-and-so Jizzle James. And I imagine that means he goes by Jizzle, which is a pretty cool name. Jizzle James is pretty cool.
More info.
Jizz James, I don't know if that's cool or not.
More information coming in about my fight. It says, from my vantage point, I was standing directly above the action. If Cody was in the octagon, Herb Dean would have stopped the fight because Cody was on top beating the guy in the head. While also telling the guy, quote, I'm sitting on you now, mother. How do you like that?
Who's that from?
It's a witness.
One of your friends. I need an unbiased opinion of this.
Aaron Judge hit his second
footage.
I don't think that
go check the security footage.
I don't know if Cody wants that getting out. He might be facing like some legal issues for damaging a fence and throwing things at people.
Not my problem. Wasn't me that damaged the fence.
What'd you say
about guy's head?
What'd you say about LeBron James?
He has no relationship with Kareem. He says.
Yeah, they have some beef, right? Kareem said some things about LeBron.
Kareem's better than LeBron.
I mean, Kareem's really good.
Well, not today, but.
Yeah.
Kareem's old man now.
He said some things in the past about LeBron, right?
I don't know.
Should be embarrassed by actions, he says. He said that in April. I think he took him to task over the China stuff, too.
Oh, another one of those.
But mostly, I guess there was some meme he posted. I don't know. So, yeah, and then LeBron was asked yesterday about how he feels about passing Kareem in the all-time scoring list this year, most likely. And, yeah, he was – okay, so, yeah, Kareem was mad that LeBron basically – was talking about the COVID vaccine, not, you know, basically saying he didn't trust it, and Kareem said he was putting black people in danger.
Wait a second. LeBron said he's
LeBron was basically LeBron hesitant about the, yeah, well, he was hesitant about the vaccine, and yeah, then Kareem got mad, and then they asked LeBron if they had any relationship, and yesterday LeBron said no. He said no thoughts on Kareem, no relationship, and that was it. Okay. Which seemed like a big, like, jeez, middle finger.
LeBron's not a very smart person.
Aaron Judge.
I'm a little sick of Kareem, though.
Yeah, he does talk.
I'm a little sick of him. Like, just the other day, he was talking about Kyrie. Like, he posted something about Kyrie flipping a crowd off and, like, had some big statement about showing class and everything. And then, like, basically everyone pulled up footage of him getting, like, in fist fights on the court and being like, this you, Mr. Role Model? Like, you're out here getting in fights in front of the kids. Like, is this you? Like, now you're going to act like you're just some, you know, big role model while on the floor? Anyways. Go ahead. What's your headline?
Anyways. Aaron Judge hit home run number 62 last night, setting the AL record, topping Roger Maris for the all-time AL record. He even got a congrats from the president. The president tweeted and said, congrats, Aaron Judge, on home run 62. History made, more history to make. If anybody knows what it's like to hit 62, it would be Joe Biden, who did that 20 years ago.
Seemed like it was kind of a grooved fastball. I don't know if the Rangers did it on purpose, but it seemed like they threw him a fastball right down the middle. It was at the very beginning of the game. The Rangers have nothing to play for. That's what it seemed like to me. Like, hey, let's make sure this guy gets 62 because it'd be really embarrassing if he doesn't. So let's go ahead and pay this off. Here you go, Aaron Judge. Here's a fastball.
Can you help me with a good joke tweet? I was trying to do something about the president congratulating Aaron Judge, trying to figure out where the connection was to be made. Like,
you think that was,
you know, there's
there
got,
was saying he hit 62 20 years ago?
Well, that didn't really get a response from you, so
it was
I guess
funny.
It wasn't that good.
It was funny.
But there's got to be a better
one. Cam, do you like it?
I like that one.
Is there something about – here's what I'm thinking.
I knew it was coming, but I liked it.
Yeah.
Is there something about, like, a judge, but not the first time Biden's congratulated a judge for something? Or, like, can you help me? something to do with a judge.
I would say if I were you, I would go with so there might be a judge angle that then gets into like Hunter Biden.
Okay.
And his illegal activities.
But what could it? That's what I've been trying to think through. Yeah. Is where's the joke at? Another thing I thought about is like still chasing bonds. And I was like, if anybody knows about still chasing bonds, it's Joe Biden. But does that make sense?
No, I don't like that.
What if it was Pelosi? What if it, you know, the handshake thing? Like, what if I did like Nancy Pelosi, Aaron Judge, and then the handshake was still chasing bonds or still trailing bonds?
Biden sucking up to Judge in preparation for Hunter's impending court case or impending arrest. There's the. You know, you gotta.
That one's a little too.
You gotta put a comedic spin on it, but that'll do numbers on Truth Social.
Do you like that though, Judge and Pelosi?
No.
And the handshake that says still trailing bonds.
I don't really get it.
You get it? Because she was like, she was doing the things with the stocks. You know, yeah. Like she knew before they were.
Yeah, but she wouldn't be trailing bonds. She'd be leading bonds in that sense. She'd be ahead of the game, not behind.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really work, does it?
Yeah.
So maybe is it just the one about Biden hitting 62 20 years ago? You think that's the best angle?
It's either that one or, yeah, you got to bring
in
Hunter.
Or just don't send it. Maybe it's just not that funny.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, everything's funny. It's fun.
When did he tweet this?
Last night.
Oh,
he,
yeah,
said congrats.
I think you missed the window.
Home run,
yeah.
62.
I think you should have. You, yeah, needed it like the night of.
And you need to be on Truth Social to,
yeah,
really have it do numbers.
Are you on there?
No, I'm not.
Isn't Charlie on there? Didn't, probably, he get an account?
I couldn't get
Nate's on there.
I couldn't get past the wait list.
The wait list.
Yeah, yeah,
the
wait list.
Yeah, they put you on a wait list.
It took Charlie like a month, didn't it? Something like that. He,
yeah,
tried to sign up.
Apparently, that's part of they've started a dating app as well.
No,
is, yeah, that?
But apparently,
so
they can't get any women to sign up, is what people are claiming. But you have to have an invitation to get on, so it's hard, from what I've seen.
Is that Trump's actual thing? Like, didn't he start,
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Hmm. So it's just like all right wingers.
I think that's the idea of it. I've never been on there, really.
Is it just like Twitter?
Yeah, it feels like it's the exact ripoff of Twitter.
Did Elon Musk, by the way, did he buy?
He has agreed,
didn't we
to
see
buy
something
it at
about
$54 a share.
So he's actually buying it.
It seems as if that's going to happen so that they can avoid the courtroom.
I can't get enough of these, like, where they cut in Aaron Judge. I mean, I know it's old, but.
Yeah.
Like, Barstool put one that was the kick six, but Aaron Judge has 61 home runs.
Yeah.
And then some other outlet yesterday put out the 05 Rose Bowl where Texas, like, Vince Young's running, and you hear Keith Jackson, he's running for the corner. And then they cut to Aaron Judge, and it's like, and they walked him.
Yeah.
No. I can't get enough of these.
To me, they
not
aren't
that funny.
Aren't that, okay, funny because they do split screens whenever they do break-ins. It's not, they just cut the whole game off.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've had a hard time finding it funny just because it's not factual.
Okay.
I prefer the truth in my jokes.
Did you see Giselle liked, is that fake news?
I don't know if it was real or not. She liked Zach Wilson's post. Yeah. I don't know if that's real.
I don't know
or not.
If it's real.
I assumed it was fake.
It's probably fake. I have started to just take things as real now. Just like you know, like your parents do. They did it on Facebook.
Yeah,
like
life is more fun that way. I take everything as fake, and then I'm pleasantly surprised if they're real. I still laugh at them. I don't need to like tell people they're fake or like.
I've stopped fact checking. What's the point anymore?
I assume everything is a joke and just laugh at it. It's kind of my route.
I just get tired of seeing something that amuses me or something, and then I have to be like, oh yeah, is this real?
Well, just don't check it.
That's what I've started doing. Just,
yeah.
I'm just becoming like a Facebook grandma.
Well, I do the same
thing.
I'm
sharing whatever.
See, I don't share them though. I just
I don't really
myself,
share them either, but
chuck it to myself and don't reference them as real life.
Does it really matter what's real though? Like if the information
bro.
If the information's out there, people are going to believe it. Doesn't really matter if it's real. Like when you say I got beat up and it's not real, but when you put the information out there, people might believe it.
Correct. That's the whole fake news idea. Anyways, let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Sing and we gonna get.
Mama told me not to. I did anyway. Misbehaving.
Daddy said don't, but I said I'm gonna misbehaving.
High on a windowsill, swimming in the creek.
Catch a crawl, Daddy.
heads and playing with a stick.
Fan Run Radio live stream is brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine. If you want to get back on your bike, back to the gym, or walk at the park and just have a healthier lifestyle, visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman. I'm doing a live read,
sorry.
LindermanSportsMedicine.com. This is a really, really slow week. This is the bad thing about your team being good at football.
What? What's bad?
It's just it's the only sport where this happens, where you have to wait a full week before games. I can't imagine being a big-time like soccer fan.
Oh, I know.
Just because, I mean, like, I know the Premier League's like, you know, you get once a week, but like, if you're like in the Champions League, it's like you sometimes have to wait a month in between the big games. I hate waiting just a week. Like, I think that's why I gravitate towards basketball so much is like, you get two games a week of college basketball. You get, you know, four games or three games at least of NBA action if you have a favorite team.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball every day if you're an MLB fan, although I think that'd be a little bit too much. But then, like, college baseball, you get at least a weekend series. You get three games to enjoy. Football, man, waiting a full week, and then that dreaded week where you have a bye week. You got to count down 14 days before you get to play again. It's torture, Cody. It's torture.
It's not that bad.
It's torture.
How are you just picking up on this? You've known this for years.
And I'm reminded, well, my team hasn't been good in years.
Well, the Titans were good last year.
Yeah, NFL's a little bit different. I understand the grind there.
It's not different. It's the same 7 days.
No, no, no. See, NFL, it's just a little bit different because you lose more. You're not top 10 in the country.
Not necessarily.
It's a marathon is what I'm saying. It's a marathon. And you know that you're signing up for a long season that's going to have ebbs and flows. A bunch of injuries. Guys going to the IR. Some scheduled losses. Blah, blah, blah. In college football, you got 8 games that matter.
4 that don't.
And really, out of those 8 games that matter when you're good, I mean, like, 6 of them feel a lot bigger than the other 6, right? I mean, I'm going ahead and throwing out Vandy and Missouri at home or whatever. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And you're just waiting and waiting and waiting.
Well, that's why, like, November, the way Tennessee's schedule is always set up. Now you have Georgia in November, but a lot of times the way it's set up, November was just kind of going through the motions, waiting to see what bowl game we get.
Yeah, I mean, we've watched, you know, a month of college football, over a month of college football, 5 weeks of college football, and we've gotten 2 big days. That's pretty much it as far as Tennessee goes.
Mm-hmm.
Gotten 2 out of 5 weeks.
That's the way it goes.
Well, I know, but it makes it drags by. It feels like it's taking forever. We have to play a game, then wait a week.
Have you heard of patience?
I got the patience.
All you need is just a little patience.
I got it.
Did you hear Chris Cornell cover that? It's a great cover.
What cover what?
Patience? Yeah.
What the hell is patience? I know it.
The Guns N' Roses song?
How's it go?
All you need is just a little patience.
Cam, you ever heard that song?
Sad sugar, take it slow.
So. I've never heard that song.
Come together fine. Have you never heard the song Patience? It's probably Guns N' Roses' best song.
Well, I feel like Sweet Child of Mine or, you know, We Will Rock You is Guns N' Roses' best songs, but I've never heard of Patience.
It's probably their best song.
Guns of Roses, like, again,
what
I know.
What did you call them?
Guns of Roses.
Guns of Roses?
Yeah, like I said, I know Sweet Child of Mine, Welcome to the Jungle, We Will Rock You. Like, all of those are good, but I've never heard Patience.
Don't you love that the guitar on We Will Rock You from Brian May, their guitar player?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say bow, 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 bow. Would you say Guns N' Roses' Brian May is one of the top 50 guitar players?
You know, top 50? No. Top 50, no. That's too much. I mean, top 50 of his era, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can take my opinion to the bank. I know a lot about guitar players.
Yeah, obviously.
Patience, like, I've never heard that one. So you got to do better than that if you're going to do references of songs. Well, is that a popular song?
Yeah, it's one of their.
Let me go to Guns N' Roses and Spotify and see how many plays.
One of their 10 most popular songs. I mean,
okay, so you're backing off pretty.
Well, okay. I'll say it's maybe top five.
Guns N' Roses.
I think it's like and.
Why would you put Gun in the Rose?
Guns N' Roses. It's just the letter.
I was saying of, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, but at least you know their guitar player, Brian May.
Paradise City. No, I don't think that's their guitar player. You keep saying that, but I just didn't want to correct you. I was trying to be polite. I don't think that's them. Sweet Child of Mine.
Well, you know, he plays on We Will Rock You, and you know that's a Guns N' Roses song.
1.3 billion plays for Sweet Child of Mine. What does November Rain? How's that one go?
Standing that has a great solo.
November Rain.
Yeah.
November Rain. I didn't know
well,
that
no, that's
them.
Purple Rain.
Oh.
November Rain has that great solo. They have Civil War. That's a good
Welcome
song.
Welcome to the Jungle. Paradise City, I know that one. Where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. I know that
There's
one.
There's Used to Love Her. Have you ever heard that one?
I used to love her. Knocking on Heaven's Door.
But I had to kill her.
I know Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah, you know who wrote Knocking on Heaven's Door?
Yeah, of course I know who wrote Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Who?
Of course I know.
Yeah, I know. I believe you know.
Yeah.
Of course I do. Just tell the audience in case there's somebody that
knows
doesn't know.
They know my credentials. I know.
Yeah, I believe that you know.
I do know.
I was just saying maybe the audience, maybe you say it.
The audience knows.
Okay, so it doesn't.
We'll say it at the same time.
It doesn't. Okay. One, two, three.
Bob Dylan.
Yep. Yeah. Bob Dylan. You got it.
Yeah. Do I know who wrote Knocking on Heaven's Door? Come on.
All I was saying is Chris Cornell has a nice cover.
Who the hell is Chris Cornell?
He was a good vocalist from the 90s. I've heard of him.
Was he in Audioslave,
Soundgarden?
Black Hole Sun, is that him?
Black Hole Sun.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
won't
it was.
You come? Yeah.
Creep. Why Don't You Kill Me, that whole thing.
Creep?
Yeah.
Well, that's Radiohead.
Yeah. Same genre, though, as well.
You mean the one that's...
Yeah,
same. I'm a creep.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking... I was thinking So I Creep. So I Creep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, how do you feel about the 90s, like, music?
I love the 90s. The 90s make me very nostalgic.
What's your favorite era?
I feel like I know a lot about the 90s. The 2010s were pretty cool, too. 2020 has been pretty cool. The 80s, I feel like we all agree, suck, but the...
Yeah, there's nothing in the 80s.
The 80s, we've already talked about this before, I know, but like the 80s just don't hold up. The movies suck, the music sucks, the wrestling sucks. Everything pretty much sucks from the 80s. I would hate to have been a kid that was like growing up in the 80s, like were my formative years, because there's really nothing that holds up at all.
I mean...
You're hoping for the 70s, and then the 90s were much cooler. Although I will say like the hairstyles of the 90s, I don't know if they hold up, but... The 80s brought them better than the 80s.
The 80s just suck. They're awful. They brought us all those awful hair bands and like, I mean, I can deal with a little Motley Crue. I like a little Motley Crue.
Yeah.
I guess Guns N' Roses came out of the 80s.
I do like Motley Crue too. Every Rose Has Its Thorns, one of my favorite songs.
One of my favorite stories is how when Guns N' Roses, they were opening for the Stones at the LA Forum.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was in 92. And Guns N' Roses was at, like, the height of their fame. And they're an L.A. band.
Yeah.
They were, like, the biggest band in L.A.
One of the biggest bands in America. So they're from L.A.?
Yep. Okay. And they were opening for the Stones. And there was this whole thing going on all week where Axl was saying stuff like,
Axl Rose, these guys are old.
Yeah. Like, we're going to blow them off the stage.
Oh, wow.
Like,
so they had some beef.
They were the young up-and-comers. And
that's kind of disrespectful if they're letting them open for them.
And the reports were, like, when the Stones came out, they opened with Jumpin' Jack Flash,
and
Axl and Slash were just kind of standing there in awe and looking at each other. And Axl, I believe the quote was, he looked at Slash and said, "These guys are mean."
Yeah.
They just knew they were in the
presence.
I was
thinking Slash. You kept saying that one guitar. I didn't know if that was his real name. I was like, I know Slash is Guns.
Slash,
Guns in Roses. I knew.
He's in the band.
He's the gun in the rose, I think.
Him and the other guitar player, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian May.
Yeah.
He wrote We Will Rock You, so he's in the band.
They should have opened up with, like, Welcome to the Jungle and just did it better than them. That's what I would have done if I was Rolling Stones. Yeah. Open up with their song and just show that we could do it better than them. That'd be the ultimate, you know, F you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. Or at least close
with
it.
It's just like, you know, there's like levels.
Maybe close with it. Maybe close with it. Or did at one point just play the riff of it and just show like, yeah, I got this in the bag if you want to go this way, young man.
Nobody can play a riff like Keith.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was, what were we talking about that segment? Baseball?
Yeah, that was baseball.
No, we didn't talk about baseball. We talked about
good baseball segment.
Football?
You,
what did we start that with? The Vols?
You came in talking about
either way.
Something about LSU, right?
Did I say we were going to rock LSU? We will. No, that's not.
And then we will be the champions?
Yeah.
We are the champions.
No, we were talking about how long it was taking between the bye week. And then he said something about patience. And then
yeah,
some song that we never heard
of.
Good
call by you. Some breaking news. No real big surprise there. But Jonathan Taylor officially out for the Broncos game tomorrow night. That Colts season looking rougher and rougher. Send us the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I've listened to Patience by Guns N' Roses during the break. I've never heard that song before.
Did you like what you heard?
You know, I kind of fast-forwarded it just to the chorus to see if I'd ever heard it, and I listened to it a little bit. So I'm not going to say I didn't like it because I didn't listen to all, for some reason, 6 minutes of it. I don't know why the song needed to be that long.
Well, it's kind of a slow builder.
If you can't get your point across in, you know, less than 6 minutes, maybe just keep it yourself. It's kind of how I feel about most songs, but
it's the opposite of patience.
Yeah, it is. I guess that's ironic, huh? But no, I'd never heard that one before. But I can't say whether or not it was good or not.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, it's a good song. It's not a top 500 song of all time, probably, but it's...
No, I could confidently say it's not a top 500 song of all time.
Well, I'm just, you know, if you were to look at the list of the top
500 I'm just saying
songs of all time.
It's not going to be on there.
You know, they updated that recently.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did a bad job with the... I've been getting pretty mad about these damn updated rankings. I started with the NFL or the NBA top 75. I didn't really like that. They let everybody, they let all 50 players that were in the top 50, you know, stay in the top 75. I'm like, hold on now, player. I know there's been 25 players better than what we were getting in the 60s and 70s. But either way, then they redid the top 10 or the top 50 TV shows. You were telling me we were reading some of that, and I got a problem with some of those numbers. And then I saw, like, I can't remember who it was, but last week I saw they ranked their top 10 comedies of the millennium, and I had a real problem with that list.
Comedy movies?
Yeah.
Of the millennium, so
since 2000? Yeah. I had a real problem with that list.
What was the top? What was your problem? What did you not like
just
about
didn't,
it?
Just didn't.
Disagreed with it?
Just disagreed, yeah, vehemently with it.
Is it just one guy's list?
It was some publications. I want to say it was Rolling Stones, but I'll see if I can find it. You go ahead and just fill some time.
Okay, well that was
it was surrounding the talk around that Bros movie. Are you familiar with the discourse around Bros?
Is that the one about the
you can say gay.
Gays?
Well, I'd rather not say gays, but yes, the gay relationship.
Well, what's
the gay couple.
Proper way to say the two
It was the rom-com built around a gay couple.
The two
Rolling Stone.
The two gay men.
Yeah, Rolling Stone. I don't know why Rolling Stone thinks they're the go-to authority on, like, all this stuff.
Everything.
You're a music publication.
Well, the thing I give them credit for is when they do their rankings, they do, like, ask people about... They don't just throw it out there. Like, they ask peers and people in the industry, and, like, it's a combined...
Just because you like the band doesn't mean you have to defend the magazine.
No, it's a separate thing. It's just,
no, I know,
but
which came first?
The band. But the first thing was Muddy Waters' song, Like a Rolling Stone.
That's what I thought. So they go still from
But I think even before...
From that, that makes sense.
I think even before Muddy Waters, there was this idea of a Rolling Stone.
I just saw Girls Trip was the 50th best comedy of all time. I can't.
Girls Trip? Was that Amy Schumer?
No, that was Tiffany Haddish is the one that stands out to me. But
and Pink, Jada.
Is Jada in that one?
Yeah, Queen Latifah.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. And then
what's the other chick? From
Regina Hall.
Yeah, Regina Hall, yeah.
I mean, it had some moments, but seeing it at number 50. And then, like, I'm looking at it. Number 7, it's got Punch Drunk Love, which I love Punch Drunk Love. Paul Thomas Anderson, you know, he's a very respected director, but I just don't view Punch Drunk Love, an Adam Sandler movie, as a comedy at all. I don't think it's a comedy at all. Number 6, Walk Hard.
The Dewey Cox Story.
Number 5, Idiocracy.
What's that y'all are doing in there? You don't want no part of this, Dewey.
Number 4, Step Brothers. Break. Number 3, Bridesmaids.
I mean, Step Brothers.
Number 2, In the Loop, which has James Gandolfini in it, actually. I've never seen In the Loop. There's Tony Soprano standing right there. And number 1, Best in Show. They think that's the best comedy of the last 22 years.
Don't think I ever saw it.
Yeah. And then rounding out the top 10, it was like, well, let me hear. Number 10 was The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Shaun of the Dead, and Tom Erdman. So, like, I just got a problem with all these lists. But, yeah, there was a lot of discourse in the news about the Bros movie. It only got, like, $4 million over the weekend.
What's the discourse about it? Like, they tried to go, like...
Well, the lead actor...
Is it funny?
Well, we're trying to figure out why it flopped. And the lead actor took to Twitter to basically say that it flopped because everyone's homophobic.
Oh, so he...
That if you didn't go see it... You're homophobic, and then if you aren't homophobic, you should go see it. Was essentially his lane.
Could it be that it's just not good?
It depends. I mean, do you know it's not good if you haven't seen it? That would be a part of the conversation, I think.
Well, I think most movies are probably just not good.
It's
most things they put out are not good. So, like, I don't even go see movies anymore.
Now, whether or not
I don't think that makes me a homophobe.
Never. Whether or not you believe it. The Rotten Tomatoes score does have 90% critics, 91% audience. So, like...
Well, of course the critics are going to like it because it's in support of the game.
Well, that would be a part of the conversation. And, but you know, I don't even know if I trust Rotten Tomatoes scores anyway. They seem like a lot of them are bought these days. But, yeah, 91% from the audience. So, if you're saying it's not good and you haven't seen it, I don't know how you would come to that conclusion, I guess. I'm not saying it is good. I haven't seen it, but I'm just saying I haven't seen anybody say they've watched it and didn't like it, really. But I haven't seen people say they watched it really either. So, like,
so a couple people said they watched it and they liked it.
The movie. Yeah. I think it's just two guys fall in love, essentially. And, like, one's a bro, I think. Like, one's more of the jock and the other's kind of the, you know, the,
well,
I don't want to say stereotypical trope, but it seems that's kind of what it, I haven't really picked up on it from the trailer.
Maybe that most people just don't want to see that. Maybe, you know, I mean, kind of hard to sell Middle America on that, I think, you know? Like,
77 on Metacritic and a 3.7 from the users on there, which tells a different story than the Rotten Tomatoes. But now that it's become a political discussion, we know, like, how that's going to... Now people are going to dig their heels in and, you know, maybe rate
for sure.
It good or bad, just depending on whatever side they have. To me, the problem with it, Cody, is, like, the main star and the only person we know is Billy Eichner, and I would say most people don't know who the hell that is.
That's fair.
Do you know who Billy Eichner is?
No.
Cam, do you?
Yeah. I know him from Parks and Rec.
It does make me mad.
For a very
when
small
they...
role in Parks and Rec. And, I mean, I watched Billy on the Street, like when it's like on Netflix a Funny or Die thing. I mean, it was fine, but I don't see movie star with him.
Everybody thinks they're a movie star now. Like, there's no good famous. You know, I mean, everything's so niche now. It's all a niche. You have your own little section of things that you like and you support and you do, and then everything else is just outside your bubble. We were talking about this girl yesterday in the group chat who's like, she has, I think what the kids call it these days is main character syndrome, how basically you just go through life as you're the main character and everything else around you is just happening to you, but there's not really a world out there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what everybody's doing now.
I mean, I think everyone kind of thinks, like, that way, though. They're the main character in their story.
I mean, this guy playing the card that just because he's gay or whatever, and that's why people, you know, they're homophobic if they don't like it. I mean, that's not true. That's not true. It's just a lot of people, some people might be homophobic, sure, but I think just because you don't want to go watch a movie about a couple of guys making out doesn't necessarily make you homophobic, does it?
I don't know. According to Billy Eichner, it does.
Maybe it's just not of interest to some people.
I think your take about everything being a niche is probably closer. Just like, I think there are very few movie stars. I think there are not as many big-time movies anymore. Like, there's just not. And, like, I can't. What would be the biggest rom-com of the last 10 years? Like, I think rom-coms as a genre in general are kind of lacking. Like, I don't even know what the biggest rom... Like, we're a long ways away from, you know, When Harry Met Sally and, you know, whatever other rom-coms you want to put in there. We just don't really do those anymore. And when we do do them, it feels like most of those have been, like, straight to streaming, you know, streaming sites these days. Like, I really like the streaming, the rom-com. It came out earlier this year. It was, had Charlie Day in it from Always Sunny. And then, what's her name that she's always, she's a, who was Marcel the Shell, Cam? Jenny Slate. Jenny Slate, yeah. It had those two in it. Like, and they're, like, the main characters. And it was a good movie. But, like, I think Hulu knew better, like, than to, at least in theaters. It was like, hey, just go straight to service. The problem was, like, the production company and the advertising like got this budget up to like $54 million or $52 million, and they only made $4 million of it back. So like it's going to look like a big flop.
I think a lot of things are flopping now. Like the methods of consumption are just so much different than they used to be.
We said there's no movie stars, and that's not true because like Tom Cruise, you know, spit in that idea's face with Top Gun. Like Top Gun, you know, didn't have to have
Tom Cruise
superhero.
Is a movie star.
Right. There's still a couple left, but there are very, very few.
Well, I'm saying of the younger generation, though, because when all these older established stars are gone, it's the same in sports. It's the same with, like, Tom Brady. And, you know, there will be a new generation of people, but they just don't have the same – and maybe it's because they haven't built the whole reputation yet, but it's like they just don't have the same pull.
Well, if movies, I think, is different than sports just because – movies as an industry have changed more than sports have. Like, football is not that different than it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Your quarterbacks have always been your biggest stars. Now, do you get some legacy points for, like, the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's, the Drew Brees's who move the needle, the Aaron Rodgers? Sure. But I think the NFL in particular is in a really good spot of, you know, they have the next group of stars. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, they have those next guys. Movies, on the other hand, a lot of movie stars kind of got into TV because, you know, that became a more common thing, and you could go and do these 8 episodes and make a lot of, like Kevin Costner at one point was a really, really big movie star, and by the time Kevin Costner is retired, we might think of him as, hey, that's a guy that did some of those baseball movies, but that's the lead character of Yellowstone. He will be much more known, especially, you know, the back half of his career for Yellowstone, than he will be for movies. A lot of people do that now. Like,
but Kevin Costner's same cut as a Tom Cruise or a Tom Hanks.
Sort of.
They're older and established.
Oh, well, yeah,
and
yeah.
I just wonder, like, when all those people are gone, I know there will be a new crop of actors. I'm like, but
we'll
this generation.
Star, though. I mean, we've been looking for the next action star for the last 20 years, and, like, the best we've came up with was The Rock and Jason Statham. And neither
and
of those
don't
guys.
Those, like, don't action movies just kind of seem outdated, though? Like,
I won't say that because the. I mean, you're gonna laugh, but like Fast and Furious still does big numbers, like in the box office. It's one of the few things that still, you know, it's kind of a superhero movie at this point, but like we still like action. We still like seeing stuff get blown up. That's something. Action movies still have a place on the big screen, is what I'm saying.
There's just something.
It feels like take Top Gun for example. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well you're gonna miss out because if you watch it, I know you got a 70-inch TV at your house or whatever, but like
it's 80. The main one's 80.
Watching it on that one is going to feel much different than it did watching it on the 100-foot screen or however big the movie – I don't know how big the movie theater screen is. Like, that's going to feel different. So, like, action movies still have a place there. Mm-hmm. But rom-coms, you don't need to go to the movie theater to see two people kiss. You can watch that on your home TV, your computer, or your phone if you're trying to get freaky. But, like, you don't have to get the surround sound to get the experience. So I think movies have to have a hook to get you in there. And most part, like for comedies, just ain't going to do that. Comedies are just going to be streaming because you can laugh, like I said, at home.
I guess I'm just saying, like, there's some connection to the fact that, like, we made, like, the Paul brothers, for example. They started out as
Chris and Cliff?
Jake and Logan.
Oh.
They became famous to the point where one is now, like, a world boxing star / pro wrestler, and like,
no, those are two different guys.
Okay, well, whatever.
One's a boxer, like, one's the wrestling star.
But I'm just saying, like, it seems to me like people are not as famous as they used to be because more people have become famous through different avenues, like social media or whatever. And it's like, it just doesn't hit the same. And I think that's affecting everything in pop culture, like the movies, the music, everything. It's just a different era of...
Maybe we have more access to famous people. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what it seems.
Maybe,
like
but
saying.
Like
in the 90s,
you
didn't have social media.
Him on every different app. Like has a different like celeb.
But who in the 90s you didn't see the actors running around? Like you saw paparazzi shots and you read tabloid stuff. You didn't see their Instagram posts and their lives and all those things.
Yeah, and I kind of wish it was still like that. Like there was still a little bit of mystery to those people. Whereas like that's more interesting to me than like. I don't care to see the Kardashians' makeup routine or whatever. You know?
Yeah, as athletes, it's the same way. Like, think about how private in the 90s Michael Jordan was compared to LeBron James.
Right.
Michael Jordan, for the most part, got to live a pretty private life and just go and have a bunch of babies all across the South and do all those things.
Yeah, and think about how much he might be criticized now if he was a star today and, like, everything's on camera, everything's on social media, and it's just like...
I do think the point about the lack of movie stars is legit, because I don't think we have very many. Like, and the last one we have is probably like Leonardo DiCaprio, and he's old,
he's,
too.
He's 50, and his girlfriend's less than half.
I don't know like who's up next when that happens.
There is that Timothy Chalamet boy.
People like him in Holland right now. But.
Neither one of those are movie stars, though.
He's a movie star now. I mean,
Tom Holland's Spider-Man, don't get me wrong, but like no one showed up to go watch that movie with him and Mark Wahlberg.
The Uncharted one?
Yeah, and that was a video game one, but I'm just saying like no one showed up to watch Tom Holland in that. Like what has he done besides the Spider-Man movies that you would consider that like a big deal?
Those aren't even cinema.
Well, they're not cinema, but they're a big deal.
I feel like
a higher
Cam
form
and I
of art.
Are as far apart on movies as two
probably.
People can be.
Probably.
Yeah, you're so cultured.
Well, no, it's just
I watch
he
nothing
loves...
but mob movies. I don't have time.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's I'm a Scorsese guy.
I listen
and
to
he
Scorsese.
Loves the Marvel universe.
There's room for both.
But I didn't say there wasn't. I just said we're far apart. I'm not taking a shot at Cam.
You're taking a shot yourself?
No, I don't know why you automatically make fun of me. I'm so cultured. I'm not cultured. I think everybody knows that.
Just watch a good comic book movie. You can watch both.
There's no acting in it. They're not, you know.
That's not true.
It's all green screens. And
Robert Pattinson was acting his ass off in The Batman.
The Batman?
Mm-hmm. Tom Holland. I'm not letting you say Tom Holland. And I'm not
just saying he's one of the people that like, people know like now. Like, one of those recognizable young
guys. He's not a movie star. No one's going to see Tom Holland movies when he's outside of the what was the other movie he did on Netflix that was so terrible, too?
That Devil movie.
Yeah, Tom Holland movies suck outside of Spider-Man. I know that's your boy, but they suck. And who'd you say? Timothy Chalamet? Name some Timothy Chalamet movies.
Dune.
Okay, and that's
the only one I know.
That's him... taking over a franchise that has like a big following. Name more since you think he's a star.
I don't know anymore. I just kind of like looking at him. I made got a quarter here.
I mean, he's in Lady Bird. That was a big movie, but he's like a small like. I mean, he was like a supporting actor in that. He wasn't the.
Add that to my LSU fund.
Kind of quarter.
Yep. Somebody left a quarter in here.
Actors.
Finders keepers.
And I guess he did like Wonka.
Top actors under 30.
I'm not giving you on the. I'm not giving you either Charlemagne or Tom Holland.
I don't think it's Charlemagne.
I was just going off recognizability.
Well, yeah, they're recognizable.
What about women? Who are the great
women?
But
to be
a
movie star, you have to get people to the theater. That was the whole discussion. Like, no one showed up to watch Billy Eichner doing a movie.
Are there any big time women under 30? I feel like you could point to more women really than you could men. Margot Robbie, like she's a legitimate star.
Mm-hmm.
She's not under 30. She's probably, 32 or something?
I'd say she's older than that. She's
I Googled
40,
under 30, right. And it's giving me people 40. Over 30.
I'm saying she's got to be like, she's at least
no,
like
she's
36,
your age.
Right? Oh, really?
She's your age. She was born July 2nd, 1990.
I was thinking she was at least 36, so that's a little surprising.
Well, she can play an older, like, she can, she has the face where she can play. I love her. Great actress.
I guess she can carry a movie. She's done it with, like, the Harley Quinn
I think
stuff.
she's a legitimate star.
Yeah.
So if we're talking, I guess just say under 35, maybe?
Well, yeah, there's no real men that do that because all the men actors get to act longer. That's the problem. I think women have to churn out more stars because you can't really be.
Biggest movie stars under.
You get aged out quicker, right, when you're a woman?
35.
Like Julia Roberts and George Clooney have a movie coming out
together.
Meryl
Streep, she's still thriving.
Well, she is. She's an exception to the rule. But, like, otherwise, you have to turn in some more of the love interest. But, like, meanwhile, like, I mean, how old's Christian Bale? Like, he's got a movie coming out. Like, I mean, he's got to be at least 45, right?
I'm going to guess 48.
Oh. Nailed it. 48.
Really?
Yeah.
The 2021 movie star ranking, 35 under 35.
Let's hear it.
You want The Ringer or – okay, this is The Ringer. The 35 under 35.
Even Ryan Gosling's 41 now.
I guess who's on the front? My boy, Timothy. Let's see here.
I'm waiting.
Oh, God, it's a slideshow. Oh, jeez.
I thought we got past the days of slideshows.
Those are the absolute worst.
Let me find a better. Here's like an aggregate of. This just says, here was The Ringer's 35. Okay, here's your names. Top 35 actors under 35. They have Timothy number one.
Okay.
And then Margot Robbie, number two. So we're kind of right on it.
How do you say his name? Timothy Chalamet? I keep saying Charlemagne.
I think it's Chalamet.
I just don't think he's, like, led a movie yet. It does seem like he's up next. Like, when he's talking about the advice that, like, Leo gave him, like, no.
So.
What did he say? No superhero movies and no. And stay off the drugs. Like, it does seem like he's positioned to be that guy, but he just hasn't done it yet outside of Dune. But Dune's kind of, like, taking over Star Wars.
So here's your top 10. Timothy Chalamet, Margot Robbie, Daniel Kaluuya.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay. The black actor who's done a lot of the Jordan Peele movies.
Yeah.
He was in Nope and
Tom Holland.
That's pretty good.
Cam's boy Tom Holland is fourth. Anya Taylor-Joy.
I was going to bring her up.
Emma Stone.
I didn't know if she was still under 35 or not. I watch Emma Stone movies. I love Emma Stone.
Who is?
You know Emma Stone.
Yeah, I mean
Superbad.
Redhead
girl.
I know her.
I didn't know she was under 35 still.
I didn't either.
So she's in a lot of stuff.
Emma Stone's a star.
Florence Pugh.
Yep, she's up next.
Zendaya.
I haven't really seen her in any movies. I mean, I know she did the Spider-Man movies, but what other movies has she done? I mean, she's an award-winning actress.
She did Dune as well. She did.
When it comes to Euphoria.
Was that a Netflix movie with the
John Hearts. David Washington?
Yeah.
Or whatever? But that one got crushed, right? Like, everyone said that one sucked.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it.
It was like a COVID movie where it was just like them two in a house fighting. Like, it was a relationship thing. Emma Stone's still 33.
Wow.
Who's Florence Pugh?
She's the new babe she's in the Don't Worry, Darling movie. She was in Midsommar, Little Women. She's good. She's good.
And then you have Michael B. Jordan and Jennifer Lawrence, number 10. I guess she's still under 35? That surprises me.
Wow, she's under 30. That's kind of. She's only 32 as well? What the hell?
She's been around for 15 years.
She's only 6 years. So is Emma Stone. Emma Stone was in Superbad in 2007.
Like, what year did The Hunger Games come out?
How the hell is
2014,
she only
14?
How
maybe?
The hell is she only was 6 years older than this Timothy Chalamet guy? Like, what?
I don't know. That makes zero sense.
And how the hell is Jennifer Lawrence number 10 on this list? Is she not a bigger star than these people?
I think she definitely.
Has she gotten aged out? I mean, she's a bigger star than Zendaya and Anna.
She's been in much bigger movies.
Yeah, she's already proven she could be a movie star.
Kristen Stewart.
Okay, I guess.
Jesse Plemons. Brie Larson. So, I mean, there's some pretty recognizable names here.
Yeah, but to your point, the women, I think, are more well-represented. Because I don't see John David Washington as a star.
Was he
on the list?
Ana de Armas. Who?
John David Washington? Denzel's son? Or was that just what you're talking about with Zendaya? Okay.
I don't see him anymore. Okay. Miles Teller.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Teller's carried some movies before. I think he'll have a real boost here. I do like the comparison though to the NFL quarterback.
Jesse Buckley. Do you know who that is?
I don't know who that is.
Dev Patel. Yeah, there's not nearly as many men. But I think there are more than maybe we gave credit for.
That sports and entertainment conversation was brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Go throw some axes with our friends at Kraft Axe Throwing, located minutes from downtown Knoxville. Perfect for a date night or a night out with the friends. Go celebrate the Vols. I usually say blow off some steam, but life's good. Go help get yourself closer to game day by going to throw some axes, drink some seltzers, watch some TV, support the people who support us. Make sure you tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. Cam sent us to break. Coming up at the top of hour two, we'll do our G&J free tent Wednesday giveaway, and then we'll get to some headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.